Lord, we just wanna, we come to you and we just say, Lord, how great are you, O Lord God? We thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you because, Lord, it is your breath that we breathe. It is you who give us life, O Lord God. We thank you because, Lord, on you we stand. Father, we thank you for every heart that is here today, Lord. And we just pray that you just reach into all hearts, O Lord God, and you just have your way in us. Father, we thank you for today. Amen. We bless your name. And Lord, I apologize for my terrible joke earlier on as well. Just going to add that in there, Lord. But hopefully all the dads will have something good to tell their children when they get home. Father, we love you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's what prayer is. You just have to speak to God. It's a conversation with God. good morning, church. Good morning. And my name is Solomon. Happy Sunday. And I also, if you guys missed my joke earlier on, you guys just have to, you know, listen to that recording over there and just get that joke again. It's gold, right? It's gold. So here at CIT, we believe in the importance of community groups. So we believe that this is a place, community groups are a place where you can just come and just learn and just get a deeper understanding of the scriptures. And not only that, but you also build deeper relationship with people as well. So it's just a great way to be, as opposed to just coming every Sunday and meeting people. In community groups, you form closer societies and closer relationship with people. The other thing I also wanted to mention is also that we have our vacation Bible school starting on the 16th of July. Till the 20th of July. It's for any of our children who's going from grade 4 to 6 this September, and it's from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. If you guys have any questions or queries in relation to that, you can either come to myself or we can meet you in the main lobby, and I'll be able to direct you to who you can speak to or who you can talk to about that. Also, our church Corporation Annual General Meeting, business meeting, is on tonight at 7 p.m. in this room. So if you can make it, that would be great. If you can't make it, there's a proxy form that you need to fill out. I have one of the forms right here. I don't know why I have it, because people can't really see it. But there is a proxy form back there as well, just before you exit those doors, so you can fill one out. You should also have another one in your email, right? Just to fill it out. Just please have it in for today if you can't make it. And just one last thing I wanted to touch on. I always talk about people coming as you are, especially if you're new. Come as you are. And last night, as I was preparing for this and other things, thank you, Nate, and other things, I was trying to figure out, what does that mean, come as you are? And as I begin to ponder on this, I thought about it, like, I've come to learn that when people come to church for the first time, there's two questions that come into their mind. And the first question is, does God really love me? And then the second question they ask, which is just as equally important, is, will the people within the church love me? And I think those two questions are just very important. And so they ask themselves, will God love and accept who I really am? My little to no faith, my doubts, my questions, my struggles, my imperfections. The thing is, for God, none of that matters. It's not about how strong, you know, your faith is. It's about who your faith is in. That's what matters with God. So today we're going to continue in our Messiah series in Matthew. And I'll just like to invite Nigel to come up here and just lead us into God's word and just fill us in more on that.
Thank you.
No problems.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Welcome. We're glad you're here. Glad you can spend your Sunday morning with us, part of it. We're continuing. This is a series we've done on Matthew. This is the 20th session on the book of Matthew, and we'll go forward. We'll continue in Matthew. I hope you're tracking with us on this. So our title today, we're at the end of chapter 9, going into chapter 10 of Matthew. Okay, and our title today is Expecting and Preparing for Growth. Expecting growth and preparing for growth. And we have a reader, as we typically do. I'm going to ask our reader to come forth, and she'll introduce herself to you all. Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Hi, I'm Helen, and you may know my mom, Hazel Collinson. I started coming to church meetings when I was a young person with my family. Since then, we moved to Australia, and I raised 4 kids and 6 grandkids.
Woo!
And every chance I get, I come back, and when I do, you all make me feel like I'm at home. So, and today I'm reading from Matthew and Mark. Matthew 9, the end of Matthew 9. Jesus went throughout cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. Send out laborers into his harvest." Jesus called to his 12 disciples and gave them authority. These 12 Jesus sent out. And Mark, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is in it. If a man should scatter seed on the ground, he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain. But when the grain is ripe at once, he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Amen.
Thank you. Okay. So you didn't know that. Helen was here as a young person, right? Many, many moons ago, right? So I think that's encouraging, right? That's somebody from way back, right? We see again, right? And what was done. That should encourage those, especially working with the young people, what we do, right? To help our young people, eventually there's a result. Okay, all right. We have a short title, and we may have a short message, which is good. People told me, "Nigel, you always go over." Well, okay, today I'm going to stick to my time allocation. All right, so let's go. Okay, we read in the end of chapter 9 of Matthew into chapter 10. Chapter 9 had those 9 cases. We've wrapped those up, and there's the important things there. We're transitioning into chapter 10, so this is transitional narrative here. Okay, and you may feel there's not much there. Actually, there's some important things we want to pick up. It says, Jesus traveled again, as he had before. He traveled throughout the region of Galilee. He's north up by the sea there. He traveled throughout villages, teaching, preaching, healing. Okay, and he looked at the people. Crowds of people were responding, coming to him for help. And he looked at them and he noted 2 things, 2 characteristics about the people in general. Number 1, they were as sheep without a shepherd. So there's 2 metaphors. One is they were similar to, they looked like sheep in one respect, sheep without a shepherd. Shepherdless sheep. Sheep do not do well without a shepherd. Number 2, he looked at them and said to the disciples, "The harvest is great, vast. We have a big harvest. We have a few workers. So pray that the Lord will send out workers into his harvest." So there are 2 things. The people in general are viewed from two aspects. Number 1, they're sheep without a shepherd, shepherdless sheep. Number 2, the harvest is great. There are harvests that should be collected, should be brought in, and we need people to help that task. Okay, so those are the 2 points. I want to say this. There's preparing for growth. And there's growth. Growth needs preparation, and growth in God's kingdom will come. So Jesus looked at the people and said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. They don't have, especially throughout the Bible, including Old Testament, the leaders of Israel were viewed as shepherds. Think back at King David. 1000 BC, David, as a boy, his job for the family business was to take care of the sheep. He was a shepherd of physical sheep. Then God eventually took him and made him king. And God told David, I took you from the animal sheep and I put you as king, as ruler, leader over my people to shepherd them, take care of them in the way that you took care of the sheep. They need leaders, they need shepherds. Right? So it's a symbol of leadership. The proper leadership gives direction, gives cohesion to people, and gives them comfort and peace to go forward, gives the proper environment. If we don't have the proper leadership, we can be confused. We don't know where we're going. We're wandering, right? So there's a need of proper leadership. Think about it. You know, Ontario, we just had an election, right? You had a change of leadership. The question is, and I don't have the answer, I don't, probably you don't too, what kind of leadership will we get? What kind of leadership have Ontarians selected for themselves? We need consistent, and this is not a political statement. This is a sociological statement. I'm saying, you know, for society, for people to go forward, to make progress, we need stable, steady leadership with a clear direction. People need to know, where are we going? What are we trying to do? What problems are going to be solved? How is this province, this country, how are we going forward? If we don't have that, we're confused, right? And I would say, you know, our neighbor to the south, you know who that is? People in the U.S. are more, maybe more confused, more unrestful in general than they have been for a long time. Why? The leadership. Right? In the morning, we have one signal. In the evening, we have another. In the morning, we're going right. In the evening, we're going left. In the morning, this person's good. In the evening, this person's bad. Tomorrow morning, in the morning, Trudeau is a hero. In the afternoon, he's a villain. From the south, we don't have clear, stable direction. It's confusing. It's confusing, it's unrestful, right? People, and it results in stress, and people are harassed. People feel pressure because of the lack of proper leadership. That's in society, right? So we should pray, at least for Ontario, we need some stable, clear direction for our society that we can go forward, okay? So, you know, the sheep needing a shepherd means we need proper leadership that's clear, steady, stable, that we could go forward. That is also true in the church, among God's people. We need clear leadership, steady leadership, stable leadership. We need to know where we're going. And I would say the leadership in this church, brothers and sisters, that's what we're trying to do. In this church, we're trying to provide stable, clear, steady leadership that we could all go forward. You say, Nigel, how come we're, you know, this church has been a practice for quite a long time. We are in a book and we stay in a book and we steadily go through a book in the Bible, right? We've spent 20 weeks in the book of Matthew. You may say it's slow. Yes, it's slow, but we're going slow, we're steady, we're stable, and we're making progress. Amen? Amen. You know, we could jump around. We could jump around every week. You know, next week we're in Genesis, the following week we're in Revelation. In the past, we're looking at history, and then we're looking at prophecy. Now we're looking at anxiety. Now we're looking at peace. Now we're looking at how you raise your family. Now we're looking at how to study the Bible. Now then we're looking at how to pray. There's a whole slew of topics we could jump around. That does not give you stability. Brothers and sisters, in our Christian life and in the church, we need stability, we need stable leadership. We know where we're going. She asked me, where are we going to be next week? In terms of this meeting, we're in Matthew chapter 10. Let me prophesy. That one will become true. We're in 10, 11, you know, and we're not, doesn't mean we're going the same pace. We need to get to chapter 13. I like that chapter. That chapter's the center of the, in one sense, it's the center and heart of the book of Matthew. So don't miss that. We'll get there quickly. Okay? But we, in this church, we're trying to provide steady, clear, stable leadership. So that's to let you know why we're doing what we're doing in that way and other ways. Okay, Jesus realized that God's people, they're sheep without a shepherd, so they need the proper, stable, steady leadership, right? So he made an arrangement, right? The very next chapter in the beginning, he appointed 12 disciples as apostles. We, those are the ones we know by name. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Thomas, Bartholomew, etc., etc. 12 apostles, 12 disciples. Jesus made a certain arrangement looking forward to provide leadership. That's an arrangement. The church needs arrangement. God's people needs arrangement. In a sense, needs organization, a certain structure. That's what's happening here. Now, that arrangement is for growth. It's for growth. You have two things. One, we need an arrangement. Two is, why is that? We need to prepare for growth. So Jesus says, the harvest is vast. The harvest is vast. Jesus looked out. Yes, so some people are following me. He called people to be disciples, to follow Jesus, to follow, take his teaching, to follow him, to apply him in their life. And that's what they did. That's what we're doing today. Have Jesus in our life, apply him, be his followers, okay? Then among them, that needs to grow. That needs to grow. God's kingdom needs to grow, and God's kingdom has the potential to grow, right? So Jesus looked at that and said, the harvest is vast. The harvest is vast. We need people to bring people in, not by coercion, but bring them in, those who want to be followers of Jesus, who want to have a change, who want to have a life-changing relationship with Jesus. We need to reach them. We need to bring them in to be followers of Jesus. That is growth. So two things, growth and arrangement, right? So in the church, we should expect God's kingdom to grow. That means grow, not just, sometimes we think of growth. We think of, you know, I learn more, I become changed more. Yes, that's spiritual growth. However, here, Jesus is talking about bringing more people in. The growth of God's kingdom in reaching more people and bringing more people into God's kingdom. That's the harvest he's talking about here. Okay, so then we touched on this parable. I like it. There's a parable in the book of Mark. In chapter 13, we have a number of parables. We don't want to preempt that. So a number of those parables we will get to are about growth, the agricultural metaphor, picture. Here's one, a brief one from Mark, which is of the same category. It says, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man, I think of a farmer, a man scatters seed on the ground. He sows seed, maybe wheat, barley. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain. And when the grain is ripe, at once the man puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. What is the point? This is a parable about growth. And the focus is on the potential, on the ability of the seed. Right? The focus is not on the man. The man's involved in the beginning of the picture. The man's involved at the end. In the middle, he's not involved. The seed does what seeds do. right? They grow. And that's God's kingdom. So Jesus came and started the kingdom. He brought in the kingdom. And that kingdom had the ability, had the potential to grow. And it grew in the time of Jesus, and it's been growing through the centuries. God's kingdom, God's life, God's spirit has the ability, has the potential to grow. Has the potential to grow in you, and has the potential to grow through you and grow to reach other people. God's kingdom can grow. Amen? You know, so we should expect in the church, you know, you may think, oh, you know, I like this, you know, we're pretty full here this morning, but there's still a few empty seats. I like this amount of people. We could, you know, when we sing, we have a certain volume, we have a certain resonance, you know, a certain atmosphere, a certain morale. You may say, I like that. Well, brothers and sisters, friends, God's kingdom has the potential to grow. God's kingdom has the ability to grow, and we should expect God's kingdom to grow. Amen? Are you expecting God's kingdom to grow? You know, it may grow slowly, but it grows. 9 years ago, this congregation numbered about 170. 9 years ago. This congregation numbered about 170. Today, it numbers about 270. That's growth. Was it rapid? Is it like a mushroom? No. It's like the seed, like wheat, like barley, like grain, like corn. It grows. And that's what Jesus is saying. You know, you may want God's kingdom to come overnight. Bang! It's here, full-blown, full-formed, full operation. It's huge. It takes over everything. And that's what the Jewish people expected at Jesus' time. And this parable and others were to change, adjust their expectation. Jesus is saying God's kingdom is not going to come like that. It's not a big bang. It's not going to come fully formed. It's not going to dominate everything instantly. It's not an instant kingdom. It's not a dominating kingdom. It doesn't come as a fully formed kingdom. No, God's kingdom is like a seed. It starts small, but it doesn't stay small. It grows, not instantly, but constantly. God's kingdom wants to grow. God's life in you, in me, through you, through me, wants to grow. Amen? Are we going to allow God's kingdom to grow? If we allow God's kingdom to grow, we got to make some adjustments and make some arrangements. Jesus, foreseeing the need to grow, made an arrangement. He had a group of disciples, and out of that wider group, he chose 12. 12, they eventually would become leaders. He made an arrangement to set a certain structure to allow for growth. If we want this church to grow, we need to, you know, God's life in you, God's spirit has a way to grow. It has the potential ability to grow, but we need to make some arrangement to cooperate with that, to facilitate that. Jesus did it. We need to do it. All right. So, that's what we're doing. Amen. So, you know, you may have noticed, you may not have noticed. Gradually, over the months, in this church, there have been incremental changes. Incremental changes. You know, this morning, Solomon came up. He's the host, right? We have a host. A year ago, I don't think we had a host. Things changed. Now we have, you know, different arrangements, different groups. Why? We're trying to facilitate growth, make an arrangement so God can do more here through us, with us. Amen? So we need to prepare for that. Why? You know, right now we're growing. We have grown, but we're beginning to reach some limitations, right? Think about it. You know, I come early. I park on the street, I have no problem. When I park, I'm the first car there. End of story, right? If you're the first in the parking lot, you come early, you have no problem. What's the problem? If you come 11, 11.05, 11.10, you may well find our parking lot is full. Look, that's not our parking lot. We don't have, right? But scale it, right? You can, people come in here, and especially if they're, maybe they're new, and they didn't quite, not quite sure how to find this place, so they didn't make it on time. Right, and they have to get the kids together, so they're coming a little bit late. They pull into the parking lot, and they're trying to find a, right? No space. No space. What do you do? You may, you know, if you've been coming here for years, you know what to do. If there's no space, then somebody tells, oh, there's space on Caracas. On what? Caracas is the street at the back. Right? Somebody tells you, oh, there's go park on Caracas. If you're new, you don't know Caracas. You don't know Greenbrier. You don't know Tolera. You don't know any of these streets back here. You never heard of them, and you can't find them. Where are you going to park? We've had people pull in here. They come through. They see no space, and they drive out. Right? They say, I tried. See, we need to make changes to allow people for this congregation to grow, right? We're maxing out on parking. We're maxing out on seating, right? You know, you may say, oh, there's still room. Yes, there's still room. But think about it. If you're new, maybe you come here with your wife, with your child. You come and you have trouble finding the place first time. You pull into the parking lot. You found the last space, or maybe you park where there is no space, and you got your family into the door. Okay, then, okay, you came to this room and you came in, and the ushers are very nice. Ah, you know, you were greeted at the door. That's great. We have good greeters. You came to the door, and we have good ushers. And then the ushers tell you, because you're late, now it's 11:15. They tell you, there's our greeters. Give you a nice smile. But you came in this room and there's three of you, and the ushers tell you, yeah, there's one seat over there and one on the far left, one on the far right, and one at the back. How do you feel? Not good. I came with my wife and my child first time. I don't want to sit one over there, and one in the back. We want to be together. Think about it. You say, are there three seats together in this room? Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes, there's three there, three there, three here. Notice they're all toward the front. And the usher tells you, oh, there's three seats on the front row. You just have to walk in front of everybody. Now, if you're Solomon, you don't mind. Sorry. If you're not Solomon, if you're not that bold, you may be nervous about that, right? So, brothers and sisters, we need to make some arrangements to allow the Lord to grow. That's our point. So, okay, we need to go. What's the arrangement? We could build a big, enlarge this meeting hall. That's a major challenge. We already maxed out on parking per, you know. You want to shorten Steve's life, give him another project. You know, that's a major undertaking to enlarge and major expense, the largest building. What should we do? Make better use of the facility. So we need to go to two meetings. What's the arrangement? Go to two meetings. So we did that. If you're with us at Easter, you've done it once. We can do it again. And we can do it more regularly. Okay, so here's the plan, and we're giving you a heads up. Okay, the plan is September, the week after Labor Day. Not the Labor Day weekend, because people come and go. The week after, that's the 9th, September 9th. Remember, the 9th of the 9th of 18. The 9th of the 9th of 18. The 9th day of the 9th month of the 18th year. 2018. We will change, we will launch two meetings regularly. Okay, so there'll be a 9:30 meeting and there'll be 11:30 meeting, 1 hour, and those two meetings will be identical. So if you come to the first, if you want to repeat, you can come to the second. Don't expect progression, you'll get the same thing. Right? So that's okay. If you want to hear the same thing twice, is good. If you, right? But we're giving, that way we can accommodate more people. Right? So if we have, you know, if we have 150 in the first meeting, 200 in the second, we've combined, we have 350, significantly more than what we have now. So, brothers and sisters, you know, some changes we can make incrementally, right? We can make minor adjustments in this meeting, right? Have different elements. You can do some changes incrementally. Some changes you cannot. Going to a second service is not an incremental change. You can't go from one to two, right? You can't go to 1.1 meetings, 1.2. You have to go from one to two, right? So we're launching a second meeting at that time. So we're letting you know ahead of time, and the church is preparing, right? We need to make, Jesus made arrangements for growth. We are making arrangements for growth, right? Each service, there will be a children's service, right? Each service will be identical. There'll be worship, ushers, greeting, cafe to follow, etc., etc. So basically the meetings are identical. Right now, we have Lord's Table on the front every week for those who want a weekly communion service in the basement. Right now, we do that at 9:30. We will have to move that forward, right? Not 9:30, but 9. So if you want the weekly communion service, 30 minutes, we'll have that. We'll still have that up front, okay? 9 o'clock, you say, oh, Nigel, that's 30 minutes earlier. Let me ask you, are you at work by 9? Are you at school by 9? Can you be at church by 9? Maybe so. Let's give it a try. Okay, so we're saying, okay, we're making this adjustment, this arrangement. Okay, so what can you do? Number one, we'd like to ask you to partner with us. Partner with us in this. We expect and hope and pray the Lord will bless this church as he has. He has blessed this church, and we look forward to the Lord's blessing. Part of that blessing is growth, more people who want to join with us as the Lord's testimony here. We ask you, if you're not that involved, here's another chance, because we need to double up. Right? Think about it. We're going to two meetings. We need to double up ushering, double up greeting, double up cafe, double up children's, double up part, right? Etc. So there's lots of opportunities. If you want to join with us to participate in this, there's need in which you can respond. So let us know. Number two, we ask you to pray. The first thing Jesus did, he asked the disciples to pray. Pray to the Lord. The Lord would bless this, be with this. You know, we can try all we want, but if the Lord's not there, not much is going to happen. We pray the Lord be with us, bless us. Number three, consider, prepare yourself. Think about it. When there's two meetings, which one do I, you know, how would I rearrange my schedule a little bit Sunday morning? How can I participate, me and my family? Okay, so we're letting you know. Let's prepare. How about we just pray? Amen. Lord, we thank you. Lord, thank you. You are God. Lord, you have your life. You have your Holy Spirit, which is the power, potential for your kingdom to grow. We thank you. You have put your life in us, put your Spirit upon us, Lord, that we could serve you. We could be your people and we could bring your message. Oh, believe what this city needs is Jesus Christ, your life, your salvation, the joy of knowing you and being part of your people. Lord, we pray you bless us. Bless CIT as we go forward. Bless all the arranging, Lord, between now and September. Lord, bless us. Pray, Lord, you'd have a way to do more. Do more through us, do more with us. And Lord, may we participate in your blessing. We could be blessed also. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I have finished.
Or time.
It did. It really did. It really did. It was good. It's good. Just in terms of like growth, and if you want to get to know us better, this is our connect card. So you will see a couple of people wearing this at the end of the service. If you want to connect with us, or if you want to get to know us better, or if you have any questions or queries about CIT or who we are, you can come see myself after the service. I'll be around, or you can see anyone wearing one of these, or you can come see Nigel or any of our teaching pastors. Also, we have a couple little other announcements. We've got our CIT, our youth. They're having their event coming up as well. Their conference is coming up in August. So just keep that in mind. And yeah, that's it. We're done. This is the end of our service. Thank you. This is the end of our service. And thank you so much for coming. And we hope to see you guys again next week. Just remember that God loves you very much.